Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
The lamppost changed the world, according to Simon Tierney. Simon joins us once again. Good afternoon, Simon.
Afternoon, Sean.
So, lay out your stall. Why and how did it change the world?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. These are objects which we pass, many of them every day, I presume. Mm. You probably passed a few on the way into
probably
work
did.
Today.
Yeah.
But you don't really notice them. Dogs notice them. That's for sure.
Yes, they do.
They are
change the world for dogs.
The most urinated upon objects in world history, apparently. I came across a funny story this morning in a local newspaper in Yorkshire, and they had a problem where dogs were urinating so much on their lampposts that the urine was corroding the steel, and the council were having to replace the lampposts in this town. That's the effect that this
dog whiz can have on things. Wow. Yeah. So how far back do we go to find the first lampposts?
Well, the first lampposts came into existence in the 17th century. But as a sort of predecessor to this, I wanted to have a look at this phenomenon called link boys, which I'd never heard of. And they existed in Dublin, indeed. Link boys were sort of a medieval version of Uber. So you'd kind of drop out of the pub, at midnight, and there's no street lights, it's pitch dark, and there's no way to get home, or no way to see your way home. There's no, lights on cars. There were no cars, obviously. So how do you get home when you're a bit half cut? So you order a link boy. He comes along with a flaming torch made with a tallow candle, which is the fat of beef or mutton. And he guides you home with his flaming torch. Now, the problem with this was most of the time it worked fine, but obviously they had a reputation for luring you into certain dark corners and alleyways where there'd be a thief, a partner waiting to sort of take your stuff. But this was the prototype of street lighting. And what this tells us, I suppose, Sean, is that there was a need for illumination. Streets were extremely dark at nighttime. They were cesspits of kind of thievery and muggings and pickpocketing, and people didn't feel safe at nighttime. And link boys were this sort of way to try and combat that.
Yeah, and I suppose that's one of the interesting things, because you wouldn't think about, you think street lamps just illuminated things, but actually it did have a massive effect on, when they went in, especially in cities around the world, it did have a massive effect on the crime rates that went down because it was much safer.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see this in Paris. Paris was the great pioneer of lampposts and street lighting in the late 17th century. King Louis XIV, he was the first person to actually think, okay, we've got this problem. What can we do to try and illuminate, bring a little bit of daylight into the night? And he was the first kind of guy to think about using illumination as an actual safety policy. So in 1667, he orders the city of Paris to be lit. We still call it the City of Lights. That's why it is. It was the first city to have this program of illumination. And by 1669, there are 3,000 streetlights in Paris. Now, they weren't lampposts. What they were, Sean, was a rope suspended above about 20 feet above the street, and each end of the rope was tied by a window of someone's apartment or house. Now, it all depended on the participation of the people who lived in the homes for them to be lit, because basically the lamplighter would come along, he'd ring a bell, and the people who lived in the house were supposed to go, "Oh, yay, here's the lamplighter. I must do my civic duty and release the rope so that he can reach it and light the candle." I mean, this was candlelight. This wasn't even oil lamps yet. Of course, people weren't bothered lowering the rope, or they weren't at home, or whatever it was. So eventually they developed a system of pulleys where the lamplighter would come along. The pulley was in a locked box on the side of the street, and he could lower and raise the rope as he wished in order to both light and extinguish the lamp.
Yeah, arduous work though.
Really arduous. 3,000 of them. I mean, there must have been a massive team of lamplighters.
Yeah, and you'd imagine it was probably almost daybreak by the time they got around to lighten them all. So presumably when it could be done automatically, did that change things? Like when, by which I mean when gas came in, did that make it easier?
Yeah, absolutely. So gas came in. I mean, the gas lamppost period era, it lasted for a long time. We see the first gas lampposts coming in 1807 and only really dying out in the 1950s. So you're talking about 150 years of gas street lighting. The first one, we're moving from Paris to London, Sean. So the Parisians were famous for creating the kind of idea of illumination as a safety policy. The British were famous for introducing a much more effective form of illumination, which of course was gas. So it was actually done as a kind of a special treat initially in 1807 on Pall Mall in London to celebrate the birthday of King George III. Apparently there was crowd. It was like going to the fireworks. There was literally a huge crowd of people looking at these gas lamps in wonder, thinking, my God, what has been created here? Then by 1812, Parliament granted this charter to a company called the Westminster Gas Light and Coke Company. Coke was a type of refined carbon fuel. And this was the first gas company in the world. And they were charged with illuminating London streets. Westminster Bridge was the first bridge in the whole of the world to be illuminated. Before that, people were literally falling off the side of the bridge at night time. But what were these street lights? What I was trying to think, Sean, was like, how different were these gas lamps to the street lights that we have today?
Yeah, were they any good?
Yeah, were they actually any good? Did they really illuminate the street? And what I discovered was an average gas lamp in the 19th century would be the equivalent today of a 25-watt bulb. So literally a
dot.
That
high up. Yeah.
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 So I was thinking, well, were these really used for illumination? And from the literature that I've read on it, what became apparent to me is that it wasn't really about streetlights giving you a sense of what was underneath the street lamp, or, you know, looking around the place to see what was around you. It was more of a guiding principle. So you would see another light in the distance and you'd move towards that light. So you can imagine this kind of, you know, this kind of Victorian, Dickensian, foggy view of London that we all have from films and stuff. It was like that. And you'd kind of see this kind of small glow of a light in the distance. I mean, there weren't even that many. You know, you're talking about quite a distance between one gas lamp to the next.
But you could orient yourself,
exactly.
I suppose, was the
Yeah, and
the
you'd kind of
them.
Line them up and you go, I think I'm about 18 gas lamps from my gaff. So, you know, I'll just kind of head in that general direction.
Now, I was surprised at how early electric lamps came in, or at least the first ones.
Yeah, it is amazing. And, you know, we're going from the kind of ancient cities of London and Paris to the relatively modern city of Los Angeles for the first electric lights. 1876, Sean, it does seem quite early. But I was trying to understand the physics of these electric lights. They're called arc lamps. Some listeners will understand this. I had never heard of an arc lamp before. To give you the short version, an arc lamp is a device for producing light by maintaining an electric arc across a gap between two conductors. Right.
Crikey.
So, what were these? How are these different to the light bulbs that we use today, which are, of course, generally incandescent light bulbs? The arc lamps, they were glaringly bright lamps, okay? And in Los Angeles, when they were invented in 1876, and indeed in the subsequent decades when they spread out across America, they were positioned on the top of what were called moonlight towers. Like, these were like super tall structures. Some of them were up to 330 feet tall. You can still see them in certain cities in America. And they placed several of these arc lamps on the top of these lampposts. And the idea was that because they produced so much light, that they acted as a sort of an artificial moon, and they would illuminate several streets at once because of their height. Now, they were rather startling to people.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, it was really glaring light. And they also, the bulbs didn't last very long. So, you know, there was a lot of running up and down this moonlight tower. But they really did revolutionise street life. They really cut out a lot of crime because, like, literally, you know, pickpockets went from a situation where they were operating in the shadows to suddenly basically being on a brightly lit stage. I don't know if some of the listeners might have seen a really good Richard Linklater movie called Dazed and Confused about 25 years ago. But there's a lot of the scenes in that movie, the parties take place around a moonlight tower in Austin in Texas, which is still there to this day.
Now, another thing I was actually amazed to find out is that obviously, you know, electric lights took over from gas lights, but there still are gas street lamps in operation around the world, including in Dublin.
Yeah, absolutely. We have them in the Phoenix Park. If you go down Chesterfield Avenue, they're all along there. They were actually gotten rid of in 1957, but the government, or Dublin City Council indeed, decided to bring them back in 1987, 30 years after they were abolished, and they've been running in the park ever since then.
Oh, how lovely. And someone texted in to say, I'm 72 and I can remember in the northeast of the UK following a gaslighter around as he lit the lamps, gathering lots of children as he went on his way. Isn't that absolutely sweet? And someone else says, we took a walking tour of Bath in England where our guide pointed out the metal holders fitted to railings where Link Boys could place their flaming torches. So there's still signs of it all around. Fascinating as ever, Simon. Thank you very much for coming into us. Simon Tierney there.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.